In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we start the first Sunday of the blessed month of Kiyak. It is still the 30th of Hathor, but when it happens that Hathor has five Sundays, we borrow from it one, because the last Sunday of Kiyak will be the Baramon, where we cannot pray in a Kiyak Kitun. So that's why today, even though it is the 30th of Hathor, but still we pray the Kiyak. And the first week of the blessed month, we usually hear the story about the annunciation of the birth of Saint John the Baptist. And we know that his father was a priest, and he was burning incense, was praying in the temple. We will notice the same also next week when the angel will come to Saint Mary. He will come to her while she was praying in the temple. The life of the people of God is usually marked with prayers. And that's why in this month we observe long prayers on Saturday night, where we come and praise and we glorify God who is to come to us incarnate. So today we are going to talk about the aims of true worship, why we worship, why we are requested to worship. By the way, we are not adding anything to God whenever we worship Him. He is not expecting us to worship because He is in need of our worship. We are the ones who benefit from worshiping God. So that's why sometimes when we are upset with God and we decide that we are going to punish Him by not worshiping, actually we are just hurting ourselves. God is not in need of our worship. Worship is entirely for us to benefit. Yes, we offer it to Him because every encounter with God will bring us benefit. So what are the aims of true worship, and how we ought to worship in order for us to attain these aims? The first thing also we have to remind ourselves with before going into the aims of worship is, there is always two aspects of worship. Something we practice inside the church and another reflection outside. It's exactly like a coin. You never have a coin with one side. A coin with one side is fake. You cannot buy anything with it. So whatever we do here, unless has another reflection outside, then this is not a true worship. So today, for example, we hear about Zacharias, him and his wife Elizabeth, that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. This is what complemented his service. This is what made Zacharias the man of God. He comes to worship while his life outside of the temple is reflecting this dedication, the devotion to the service of God. So this is what we are going to talk about today. These kinds of two reflections of the true worship. Other than this, then whatever we are doing here is a bunch of rituals that at the end of the day are not going to benefit us anything. So what are the aims of true worship? We have four aims we always attain when we worship God in truth and spirit. The first aim is to glorify God. As I mentioned in the beginning, God does not need us to glorify Him, but we benefit from doing this. We come to the church to remember His goodness, His mercy that endures forever. That's why the church arranged for us all of the occasions to bring to our remembrance what He has done and what He is still doing with us. We come now and we remember His incarnation. So in a few weeks we celebrate the Nativity, and then we celebrate the Epiphany, and then we observe the Great Fast where we participate with Him, and then we remember His Passion and His Resurrection. This is the season of the church, remembering what God did, glorifying Him for His goodness. We come and praise Him in our prayers. Saturday night when we come in Kiyak, we are not requesting anything personal. All of the prayers is to glorify God and what He did, and glorify Saint Mary for accepting to be the vessel who will carry to us the Son of God incarnate. What is the outside reflection of this? We come here and praise God and offer thanksgiving. Outside, what happened is our good deeds that will be seen and will be a reason for people to praise God as well. He said this to us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We want everybody to participate in glorifying God, but we are not going to invite people outside who do not share our belief or telling them, oh, come and share with me how I praise my God. But when you live the true Christian life, what will happen is people will see your good works and will glorify God whom you worship. And also it goes the other way around as well. When we behave outside the church in a way that does not reflect our faith, what will happen is we bring reproach upon the name of God whom we worship. People will always say, look, these are the people who go to church, how they act, how they live in their homes, how they deal with one another. And at the end of the day, this makes all of our glorification and praise and worship here is of no benefit. We do not attain anything from it. So the first aim of worship, always remember this. We come to the church to glorify God, and we live outside the good Christian life so other people will glorify God through our conduct and behavior. The second aim of true worship is to attain holiness. Holiness is alien to us. We cannot do it on our own. There is nothing we can do in order for us at the end of the day to be holy. But we are requested from God to be holy like Him. But how this can happen? He is requesting something from us that we cannot attain. We sin every day. This is something we lean towards. Since the fall, we always know this, how to sin. This is what we know the best. At the same time, how can we become holy? This holiness is attained when we draw closer to Him. You come closer to the Holy One, you become holy like Him. He will cover us with His holiness, His righteousness. We come and pray, and we are cleansed through the prayers. The sacraments that we partake of. In baptism, we are to be united with Him. In the Holy Communion, we abide in Him and He in us. The long prayer. Amber Fail has a very nice meditation about long prayer. He says, it's exactly like when you have clothes that's like not clean. You put it in the dishwasher and you turn the program to take as much time as this cloth is dirty. So the more like dirt, the more time it needs for this kind of clothes to go inside the dishwasher for a long period in order at the end to become cleaner. That's why we come and pray for long hours on Saturday night, on Sunday liturgy. We know that this is part of us attaining holiness. The incense we raise, the reading that we hear. The Lord Christ said, you are clean by the word that I spoke to you. Again, this is something that comes to us from Him. So this is how we attain holiness. When we come and we draw closer and we spend hours in prayer here and at our homes. How this is reflected outside? What is the outside reflection of this? The outside reflection is by abstaining from the filth of sin and the circumstances that facilitate it. This is how we try outside to be holy as well, abstaining from the reasons of sin. If I come to the church and spend long hours praising, and I go outside and I indulge myself in the filth of sin, what did I do? It's exactly like someone who went to his home, took a shower, put on new clothes, and then went outside and put himself in the mud. These two actions are contradicting one another. If we want to attain holiness, we come and pray, and outside we struggle against sin. We struggle not to get there, to avoid all of the reasons and what are the means by which we be stained with sin. So first, the first aim of worship is glorifying God. The second is to attain holiness, that we cannot without it see God. The third aim is unity. Unity of the body of Christ. We are requested to become one. We hear this every single day in the morning when we pray the matins. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Unity is attained also through worship. Unity first is to be attained with God and then attained with one another. We are united with Christ by attaining His mind, abiding in Him through the sacraments. And also with others, when we share the same bread, we partake of the same body. This body is divided among us in order for all of us to be united through the body of Christ. That's why in the prayer, there is a prayer called the prayer of reconciliation, reminding us that we should at least forgive one another before we come and partake of Him. The prayers that we pray at home, we pray from the same book, the Agbaya. Why the church is putting emphasis on praying from the same book? Again, for the sake of unity. You use the same prayer that your brother and sisters are using, and the same one. We all pray towards the east. We know that God is everywhere. Wherever we stand, He will see us. He will perceive our prayers. But we pray towards the same side because this is part of the unity. You cannot have a person having his eyes looking in two different directions. If we are one, if we are one body, we know now today when we are praying, looking towards the east, our brothers and sisters in Egypt and everywhere, praying towards the same side as well. Praying the same liturgy. So we all know what we are going to pray. We are participating in one heart. Fasting all together at the same time. The church is organizing this as part of our unity. There is part that's specific. Every one of us fasts his own way at home, but at the end of the day, we all share in the nativity fast. What is the outside reflection of this? How this is reflected outside? A Christian person lives in harmony outside of the church. As much as it depends on us, we always try to live in peace. Going back home and live in divided homes or divided communities, and we are struggling with everyone, this is not what we are here for. If we are trying to attain unity through our worship, we have also to struggle for the same purpose outside of the church. So we have to ask ourselves, when we come here and partake of the same body, are we living the same way? Are we glorifying God by living in unity outside or not? The fourth aim of true worship is the act of offering. Part of the worship is we offer, we give. When we stand and we spend hours, this is giving from your time and giving from your effort. Don't save yourself. Don't say it's too much. What Christ has done for us, is this is the one that is too much. Whatever we do at the end of the day is nothing in return of His love. When Wednesday and Friday comes after we finish the fast, don't say it's too much. Nothing is too much to be offered to God. Remember what He did for you and for me, and nothing will seem very difficult. So everything we do here in the church includes some kind of an offering. We spend time, we praise, we offer from our positions, our money, we give tithes. All of these are part of the act of offering, and by which we also glorify God. Offering time, effort, money, oneself are all expected from us. That's why if we are to worship God in that right way, we have to offer the best. Meaning, if you are giving gift to someone, the gift will depend on the value of this person. We all know this. So if this person is so dear and you feel so much appreciating what he did with you, you try to get the best and give it, even sometimes above our means, because I love this person and I appreciate what he has done. But if you bring anything, wrap it in any kind of wrap, or just like hand it to him and saying, oh, this is what I can. This kind of gift reflects how you feel towards this person. Don't give anything in God's hand that's not befitting His glory. Whatever you do, do it in the way that you think this glorify and Him and reflect your appreciation. If you are offering time in the liturgy, how much time you want to offer? Part or full? If you are giving tithes, how much you want to give, full or part? The same idea goes on and on and on and on. Everything we worship God with, it's a gift. You want to give Him a gift that's befitting His glory. So these are the four aims we are trying to attain. What about the last part, the act of offering, how this reflected outside? If I come here to serve God and offer Him, this should be reflected in a selfless life outside, living as a servant everywhere. You cannot be a servant in the church and a master in your home. You cannot come here and say, oh, what can I do in order for me to serve the house of God and go back home expecting people to serve me and be around my needs because I'm tired, I need other people to take care of me. These two pictures are contradicting one another. If you are offering to God in the church, this should be reflected outside in a life of service to everyone, everyone whom you meet, those who live with you and those whom you encounter even in the world outside. So these are the four aims why we worship. We worship to glorify God, to attain unity, to be holy, and to also learn the act of offering. How we ought to worship? How can we get there? How can we attain these four aims? Number one, we worship, or we should worship, diligently. This verse, we know it since our youth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Those who seek me diligently. أنا أحب الذين يحبونني والذين يبكرون إلي يجدونني. That's why sometimes we start things early and we're expecting people to come early. Why? It's part of the diligence. That's why we always say that before you leave your home, wake up early 15 or 20 minutes and stand and pray. Part of the diligence. If God is at the end of the day, we find Him the time that's left over, this is not diligence. And if I offer God this, I will never attain any of the aims that we spoke about. We also ought to worship Him joyfully, without sneering, without complaining. When the fast to come to an end, how we feel? We feel we miss it? Or we feel like, okay, we take another 50 days between the Nativity and the Great Fast, no Wednesday and Friday. This is not how we ought to conduct ourselves. We worship Him joyfully. We hear this, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We ought also to worship God with penitent heart. Worshipping with no repentance is nothing. If I still keep holding on the sin with no repentance, no confession, then what I'm doing here is just I am reciting words. Worship should be combined with repentance. The daily struggle against sin, the daily prayers, the regular confessions, the struggle at home to do what is right, part of the life of worship. I need to do both diligently. I repent and I pray. I confess my sins and I come to praise God in His house. We ought to worship God also with understanding. There is always the three questions about what we do, and then why we do it, and then how we do it. Sometimes we know how. I know how to come to the church and I stand and I pray. I know how to kneel. I know how to use the Agbaya. But why? And what is this for? These are also questions that we should come at a certain time to find answers for them. We should care enough to know what we ought to do, why we have to do it, and how we should do it. We ought to worship also in truth, meaning as God wants me to worship, not as I want it for myself. As I said before, worship is a gift. You give the gift as the one who is going to receive it dictates. If I am giving a book to someone who doesn't know how to read, then there is no benefit from it. Not because you like books, then you can give it to everyone. In truth means according to the faith of the church and its holy tradition. That's why we don't come here and Abuna says, by the way, today I'm going to pray something new for you. Because we are all bored from the liturgy. We don't do this. God does not have a mood that changes. God is consistent, He is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. That's why we worship Him the same way till the time when He comes and receives His church. The last thing is we worship God with fear and reverence. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, as Psalm 2 tells us. Reverence is reflected in everything we ought to do. Since the time I come in and I turn off my phone, so I do not receive notifications, and I'm not busy looking at my Facebook while worshiping. Doing this is exactly, I'm coming to insult God, that I'm supposed to come to glorify. Being so much over my phone while there is a service, it's an insult. You cannot do it with your manager or at your teacher, with your teacher at school. If you do it in the church, it carries the same meaning. Unless we assume that God does not see, this is something else. How we stand in the church, how we walk, how we talk with one another, what we are sharing here, all of these should reflect fear and reverence. Otherwise, we will come leaving the church, but not carrying a blessing, maybe something else. We do not want to come to the church not to take a blessing. And if we are to be blessed, we have to worship God in fear and reverence. So, Zacharias was worshiping, and his life outside reflected his goodness. In the same way also, this is what we ought to remind ourselves with. We come to the church, always remember these, for these four aims. We come to glorify God, to become holy like Him, because we cannot become holy on our own, to attain unity as members in one body, and also to learn how to offer. May the Lord to grant us all to worship Him in truth and in fear, reflecting the life of worship inside and outside the church, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.